Two things you may already know, but if you're a visitor today, you will not know. And that is, first of all, here in this church, we don't necessarily believe that God fits into one gender box. And so throughout my sermon, I switch pronouns. And I'm sorry if that's a little bit confusing, but I think it's important to acknowledge that God is beyond the boxes that we tend to put God in sometimes. And the other thing that you should know about me is that I think that laughter is holy and healing. And so we're going to start with a joke today. I heard about these sons in the schoolyard who were bragging on their moms. And the first little boy said, "My mom is the best. She scribbles down some words on a piece of paper, calls it a poem, and people give her $50. And the second little boy said, No. My mom is the best. She scribbles down some words on a piece of paper, calls it a song, and she gets $100. And the third little boy said, "You guys have got nothing on my mom. She scribbles down some words on a piece of paper, calls it a sermon, and it takes 8 people to collect all the money." May these words be to God's glory. So I had a revelation a few years back. It appears that my mom is a human being, independent of her relationship with me. I was as surprised as you are. As far as I knew, growing up, my mom was the person who took us camping in the summer and watched TGIF with us on Friday nights and cried at every single movie we saw. She cried at the end of Speed. Who cries at a Keanu Reeves movie? She was the one I told first when I lost my first tooth, and I thought in my mind that she would always be a student because she went to medical school after my brother and I were past infancy. One of my earliest memories is of flipping through an anatomy textbook where the layers are on transparent sheets. You ever seen those? Those are so neat. And as you turn the page, it goes from skin to muscles to tendons to bones. I thought those things were so cool. And every time I was at Mom's, I would look for her anatomy book. I was fun at parties. I don't know why the other kids were like, "I don't understand this kid." What I didn't know was that she was also a young woman, younger than I am now, who was going through a divorce while attending medical school, who was also trying to maintain a relationship with her 2 young children. I didn't know what it meant for her to drive 45 minutes one way to see us, and for her to do that 3 times a week while she worked her way through school. I didn't know what it was for a young, beautiful, single woman to give up her weekends to be there for us. And what it meant that instead of telling us we couldn't go shopping because she was broke, she took us to endless garage sales and the library. I didn't know that she was so broke that sometimes she took the food set aside for patients who had passed away that day in the hospital in order to feed us. I didn't know that she and her 3 brothers had a whole set of memories together about her own mother, taking them on picnics and singing in the kitchen and chain smoking. It was the 50s, it was what parents did. I didn't know that she knew her own dad was lonely and that she was sad because she couldn't fix that. I never saw any of that. I've heard more than one mother say that women are stronger than men because if we weren't, parenthood would kill us. Which isn't to say that men are not good parents too. After all, after my parents split, my dad had custody of us during the week. He made us lunches with notes in them about how much he loved us. He drove us to a billion rehearsals and games and helped us with what must have been excruciatingly tedious homework and science fair projects. He tolerated my playing the oboe in high school and middle school, an instrument known for its insufferability until at least 5 years of practice. No, both genders are tested and tried by parenthood. But I think we can safely say that in our culture, mothers are expected to bear more of the burden of parenthood than fathers. For men, being a great dad is a laudable achievement, but for women, it's more of an expectation. Which is why it's so remarkable that my mom and moms everywhere are people who somehow also manage to be mothers. I don't have any biological children of my own, but from what I can tell, being a mom is difficult in a way you can't imagine until you do it. I can't believe my mom drove back and forth in the Chicago snow to see us when she was maybe 28. When I was 28, I was applying to grad school and eating tomato sandwiches in Queens. I can't believe that my mom sat through all those long, probably nonsensical plays and concerts I was in when she had to be exhausted from staying up and studying. I can't believe that she had to date and explain, "I have two young kids and no money at all." And yet she never acted like we were in the way of her having the life she wanted. I'm not sure I could have been that mature. And that's what's amazing about moms. They show up and they give even when it's hard. They swallow their own discomfort to get the job done. They show up, not because of how they feel, but because it's what they do. And that's strength. Now, it's not just moms who do this. How many meetings have you had to go to that you would rather gouge your eyes out than attend? Now, I'm being a little silly, so let's be more honest. How many hard conversations have you had to have with people that you loved that you would really rather avoid? How many friends have you had to watch make poor decisions and still be there for them anyway? How many times have you had to sit with someone you loved who was dying, wishing you could be elsewhere because you're so sad and you don't want to see them like this, but you also don't want to leave them alone? How many funerals have you had to attend when you'd really rather cry at home? So much of life consists of this, deciding to show up physically and emotionally when you may not feel like it. This last Thursday, I was in boxing class, and I was so stressed out because we're trying to buy a house. And so far, we've put in offers on two houses and bid outbid on both of them. I was sad, and I was angry. And I actually considered not working out in order to stay home and eat potato chips and watch SpongeBob. I didn't want to put on the stupid spandex and wrap my hands in the smelly tape. But then I thought, oh, let me bring my baggage with me. Maybe it will help if I hit stuff for an hour. And the way we work out, the instructor gives us a combination to practice during a 3-minute round over and over. So, you know, 3 or 4 punches that you do repeatedly. And if you ever boxed, you know that 3 minutes is a long time. And 8 rounds can feel like forever. And it's funny, just as I was getting tired, my instructor, who's also a woman, said over the PA, out of the blue, "Unfortunately, this workout, your opponent, the bag, they don't care how you feel. They don't care if you're tired or distracted or sad. You give it all 100% because that's how we get better." And suddenly, I had all my energy back. Suddenly, I was smacking the stuffing out of that thing. It's easy to get discouraged because the world keeps asking things of us, even when we don't feel like delivering. I know that for me, I'm almost always tempted to stay home and watch SpongeBob, metaphorically speaking. But the thing is, being able to make the choice to show up anyway, to smile anyway, to give 100% anyway, that means that no matter what life throws at you, no matter how it makes you feel, you still have the freedom to try. And that means that no tragedy, no divorce, no poverty, no stress, no loneliness, no death has the power to make you quit. That, to me, is actually pretty comforting. It means that I, not life, gets to decide what I do. Now, on the other hand, of course, sometimes we don't show up. Sometimes it is too much and we do quit. I know I have. As someone with a family history of depression, I know that show up no matter how you feel sounds nice, but it can really hurt. As someone who has struggled with depression myself, sometimes for many years, I know that getting out of bed is occasionally the very best that we can do. And the same was probably true for many of our moms. Mother's Day is a holiday to celebrate, but not all of us celebrate our moms, not exactly. As I said at the beginning of this sermon, mothers are people, independently of us, and many of our moms probably did not always show up if they didn't feel like it. Many of our moms were or are selfish sometimes or immature. Many of our moms made terrible mistakes or terrible choices. Some of our mothers just weren't there at all. physically or emotionally. Some of our mothers are more like our children, and some of us resent them for that. Many of our moms failed. Now, I won't say that's okay, because for some of us, it's still not. What I will say is that in our father's house, or in our mother's house, let's say today, capital M, there are many rooms. What do I mean by that? Well, first of all, fortunately for all of us, we're not limited to finding love in the world from just one person. For example, I had my mom to love me, but I was also cared for by other women. Mrs. Lass, my second grade teacher, pulled me aside at the end of the school year and told me that I was one of her favorite students because of how thoughtful I was. That made me feel good because I was already learning to dislike myself because I was shy. And being told that my shyness and my thoughtfulness were a good thing made me feel really good. There was Mrs. Brown, my babysitter, who one summer told me she thought I was part fish because of how well I swam in the kiddie pool. I loved mermaids, so the thought that I might be related to Ariel really made me happy. And there was my dad's girlfriend, Jenny, who introduced me to life on stage and taught me how to love myself. Later, there was my stepmom, whose laugh I loved so much that I imitated it, who taught me how to make chocolate cake and snickerdoodles from scratch. Oh, yeah. And who introduced me to my love of wide open spaces. God's house has many rooms, and all of them have love. When I say that there are many rooms, I also mean that God loves us in many different ways. We are here today because we have experienced God's love in this community, in this building. We have felt God's love in the Bible, or in song, or in prayer. But there are other ways that God loves us. A friend asked me a few weeks ago if I talked to God randomly throughout the day, and I told him that I thank God all the time, even for silly stuff like parking spaces. I do. It may seem silly, but seeing good parking as evidence of God's love, even if it's not, you know, a biblical miracle, trains me to look for the ways that he provides for me. Thanking God that a meal came fast in a restaurant when we're in a hurry, thanking God that a check didn't bounce, thanking God that someone who gets on our nerves was out of the office on a day that we were tired, that gets us in the habit of looking for the good stuff instead of focusing on the bad. And God loves us in deeper ways, too, which is fortunate, because as much as I appreciate good parking, it's not enough to sustain my faith. Sometimes God sends us just the right friend, right when we need them. Sometimes God sends us the right job, right at the right time. Has something ever shown up in your life unexpectedly, right when you needed it? Have you ever been surprised by God's goodness? God's house has many rooms, and all of them have love. Of course, there's another dimension to Mother's Day, and this one should be held with tenderness, too. For some of us, Mother's Day reminds us of loss. Some of us were mothers, but nobody calls us that anymore. As I've hit my 30s, I've learned that so many women, many of my friends, in fact, have suffered through miscarriages. Some of us have lost children in one way or another. Some of us have living children from whom we will not hear on Mother's Day. Some of us have lost our moms, recently or long ago, and we have gained the knowledge that no matter how many years go by, we will always have a void in our hearts on Mother's Day. For some of us, Mother's Day hurts. But friends, God knows your heart. God knows what you need before you even ask for it. And in her house, there are many, many rooms. Your mother's room may have love, yes, but if she's no longer with us in body, it may also have sadness. Your mother's room may have love, but if she was unable to show up sometimes or showed up in ways you wish she hadn't, it may also have bitterness. The rooms of our own motherhood may have love, but they may also have disappointment and stress and worry and even deep, inestimable grief. And that's okay. God's house has many rooms, and all of them, whatever else they contain love. The good thing about rooms is that when you need to close the door, you can, even if it's just for a little while. There's another room nearby with different love, more love. There's a room nearby with just what you need, whether that's comfort or forgiveness or just joy. So today we give thanks for our own mothers who drove 45 minutes to see our plays and hid Easter baskets in the dryer and told us in our teenage years that they hoped someday we had kids just like us. We give thanks for our own abilities to mother others, that we have gifts to share and love to give. We give thanks that your house, God, has so many rooms and that you intimately know the contents of each one. We mourn and give thanks for the parents we've lost and for the parents we couldn't become or the parents we will never be again. We ask you to be with us if we are in rooms where there is sadness or disappointment or anger, and to remind us that we only mourn when we have loved, no matter how imperfectly. We celebrate in the rooms our mothers occupy and hope that they celebrate with us. Now, we've been doing talkbacks after our sermons, and so far, they've just been about all of the changes that are coming. I'd like to invite you, if you feel so led, to share any reflections that came to you today during the service, or during the sermon, excuse me. Does anybody have anything that they want to share? And if not, that's totally fine. A lot of us are reflecting on our moms. I know I'm missing my mom. She's 3,000 miles away. She's in Florida. And every night before I go to sleep, I light a candle that she sent me. It has a particular smell that reminds me of her. Maybe you're thinking of your own rituals right now. No. If nobody has anything that they would like to reflect on, will you pray with me and close out? God, our Father and our Mother, thank you so much for the way that you always show up when we call. Thank you for your perfect love. Thank you for your house with many rooms. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for the love that they gave us. Thank you that even when they have failed us or when they have hurt us, that your house has so many rooms and that we are able to love them anyway. Thank you for your care that you have given us both through our mothers and through our fathers, through those who have loved us, who were under no obligation to do so, but who took care of us. Be our mother in the year to come, God. Show up for us. Show us compassion and patience, and most of all, love. In your name we pray. Amen.